I remember very shortly after Jeff was first hired, knowing it was temporary, and after meeting him and worshiping with him here on a Sunday, I told him that I missed him already, and I can't believe that this day is here now. Musical worship has always been one of the best ways that I connect with God, and Jeff's talents in leading through the work of the Spirit brought me to that wonderful place of awe and wonder. Some of my favorite work moments are when Jeff is practicing songs in his office, just his voice and his guitar, and the office atmosphere is filled with the sound of praise to our Maker. Often when we say worship pastor, the emphasis is on the word worship. But Jeff has proven that he lives fully into both of these titles. He is a man of deep character and integrity, with true humility in the presence of others. He sees value in people not for what they can do, but for who God created them to be. He listens not just with his ears, but with a pastoral heart. And when he says he will pray for you, you know you will be lifted to the throne of heaven with the same care as the men who lowered their friend through the roof to bring him to Jesus. Jeff loves to see others grow, and I know that our youth were especially blessed when he stepped in as an interim pastor. His balance of humor and being real with them gave the youth and young adults that he mentored a freedom to be who they are and to love each other in unity. The same Spirit that fills Jeff and works through him to lead us into the presence of God on a Sunday morning also shines in him and in our offices as we go about the ministry of the weekdays. Whether it's words of wisdom for difficult situations or inspired prayers, the Holy Spirit's anointing is so obvious in Jeff's daily life. He lives what he preaches and gives honor and respect to each one of us. He has a contagious sense of humor, and we've shared many great laughs as a team, which is always good for the soul. I believe we've all learned from him and will be better people for knowing him. Jeff, each one of our staff want you to know how thankful we are that God led you to us for such a time as this, and that we have been able to receive and enjoy your friendship and pastoral care. We wish you all the best with your future endeavors and pray that God will continue to use your gifts to bless those that you serve. You are one of those special people we have crossed paths with on life's journey that we will never forget.
For those of you who may not know me, my name is Daniel Den Haan, and I've grown up here at PCC. I've been involved in musical worship here since grade 3, either playing for the kids' service that we used to have, or at youth, or on Sunday mornings here, most recently drumming. I've been in a worship band that's consistently played at 4 local churches. I've played at a few conferences. I've even done Jeff's job here for a year. And I say all this not to brag, or as my resume, Alex, your job is safe. I say this because of all of this time involved in and around various aspects of musical worship, playing and serving and working with a huge variety of amazing and talented people. My time spent playing drums for Jeff over his couple of years here has been the most formative and enriching of all of them. My first interaction with Jeff was when I was asked to play electric on the Sunday on which he was candidating for the job. I thought, great. I can put him through the ringer and see if he's good. If he's a good fit. Jeff brought his band, the Dawn Chorus, which, by the way, is a phenomenal band name. And also, you can listen to them on iTunes, Apple Music, and Spotify. You're welcome, Jeff. We showed up on Wednesday night and introduced ourselves and started to warm up and practice. And with no exaggeration, about halfway through the first song, I grabbed my phone and I texted Pastor Brian. And I said, we need to hire this guy. Jeff and I have become pretty close over the last couple years. We've stood on the Black Tusk together. We've shared his two-person tent, which is not, it's not two people, Jeff. another highlight we were just reminiscing this morning was the Sunday where Jeff lost his voice, and he and I had to trade instruments like 30 minutes before the service started and just sort of hope for the best. But I want to rush past those because I want to spend my few minutes continuing to give us a clearer picture of who and what we're losing. Jeff Schroeder is a man of God, and I do not say that lightly. I think those of us who have been at PCC for a while had a bit of a growing pains period when Jeff the Charismatic came on staff, asking us to lift clap offerings as the band made a whole lot of noise at the end of a song, asking us to sing or pray in our own words in quiet moments, challenging us to take a posture of worship. And the list goes on. He's called us to do more, to act our worship, to be intentional and responsive, to take ownership of our expression. I know I had to warm up to these new ways of expression, and I, for one, tended to bristle and get my back up early on when challenged to participate in this way. But very quickly, in getting to know Jeff more closely, I realized that this guy is not being charismatic for the sake of it or to look like he's doing worship well. He purely can't help himself. And I say that it's a very positive thing. And this is the thing. This is the thing I appreciate most about Jeff. He is exactly who he is. He's not putting on airs. Whether you're climbing a mountain or grabbing a drink or jumping into a lake or making some music, the guy that you see here on stage week in and week out is the exact same guy you're doing all those other things with. Jeff seeks out his Lord with passion and diligence and expectancy and discernment. And everything that he does is grounded in his pursuit of his relationship with Jesus Christ. His charisma on Sunday morning is not something he plans, it's who he is. Actually, no, it's who Jesus is. And he is constantly shining through Jeff. Jeff, it's a bittersweet moment to see you go. You've poured so much into this place and into us as a worship community and congregation. I've loved playing and leading with you, arguing with you about how to approach a song, praying with you, and learning from you. Like I said earlier, you have been incredibly formative on my spiritual and musical journey. And you've challenged me to not be complacent in any part of this responsibility. I hope you realize just how gifted you are. But also, always remember that you are the worship leader you are not because you lead so well, but because you follow so well. Keep following Jesus' call on your life. Keep pursuing him with that same diligence and discernment and expectancy. I'm stoked to see what he has in store for you, your education, your church, and your life. And we'll be praying for you as we know you'll be praying for us. Jeff, on behalf of everyone, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Many of you might not know that before Jeff came, I had a worship candidate in mind that I hoped would get hired. However, I learned that Brian had his eyes on a guy who was described to me as a charismatic Anglican. When I saw how excited Brian was over this candidate named Jeff, my heart opened to the possibility that this could be the guy that God brought to us. From my time serving with Jeff, I can see why Brian had googly eyes over him. His values, experience, and humble heart lent itself perfectly to who we are, and yet he would also challenge us in areas God wanted us to grow. He is a skilled musician and artist who has experienced the love and truth of God and wants everyone else to experience it too. He is highly relational and a humble leader who has a passion for God that is contagious. One way that I experienced this was in our music practices as a team. Sharing the word with us and praying was a big priority to Jeff. The practices were used as a tool to experience Jesus as a worship team, and Jeff took the time to share and lead us. There were many times watching Jeff and listening to him in practice that I felt like he was Jesus himself sharing the Father's heart. The way songs were laid out was purposeful and had intention. He valued excellence and yet communicated grace and love to us as a band. He never seemed worried about time. He was patient and easygoing. As a result, I felt safe to express myself and be who I was during practices and ultimately before God when singing. Although Jeff valued excellence musically, he showed that authenticity trumps perfection. Jeff cared more about the state of our hearts than about performing perfectly. Outside the practices, it was the same Jeff. His passion for God, coupled with the fact that he is highly relational, affected all of his interactions, conversations, emails, and meetings that he led. Prayers he prayed and things he said to us brought deep encouragement. He has the gift of being able to see things that God has put in you and call them out of you. He uses these pastoral and prophetic gifts humbly and boldly for God's glory. I'm so thankful for his servant leadership and deep love for us here at PCC. Jeff modeled a posture that was humble and submissive before us. He led us with honest excitement and hopeful expectation. He modeled this and then stepped back, encouraging us to try it too. He made room for us to express and be who we are before God. It wasn't about Jeff being the star performer up on the stage for people to watch. It was Jeff pointing everyone in the direction of God and what he has done and is doing, and then encouraging and leaving space for us to do the same. PCC is at a different place now than we were 2 years ago. For one thing, the clap offerings feel more natural now than they did in the beginning. We've experienced freedom and safety in the love and truth of God. It is truly a work of God through Jeff. Let's give tribute to Jeff and the blessing that he has been. But in typical Jeff fashion, let's also point to God and give thanks. I'd like to read a prayer now for you, Jeff, if that's okay. Dear God, thank you for Jeff. Thank you for the blessing and impact he has had on us. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, the skills, and the heart you have given him. And thank you that he uses all of these to build up your church. Like Daniel, may you keep him undefiled and set apart. Like Joshua, would you use Jeff to lead people to what you have promised them and give him courage and boldness in what you are able to do through him. Like Isaiah prophesied, would you use Jeff as your instrument to loose the bonds of wickedness, to break the yokes of the spiritually oppressed, and feed the hungry with the bread of life. I pray that like Jeremiah, he would continue to have a fire shut up in his bones where he cannot keep from speaking what you want him to speak. And may he, like David, live a life unashamed of delighting in you. Continue to grow and prepare him for this next chapter in his life. May he continue to hear your call within the call. Amen. We love you, Jeff.
So well done, you three. Thank you so much for speaking on behalf of all of us. I have a text. It goes like this, and in a minute we'll put it up on the screen and we can all read it together. From the words of Paul to the church in Corinth, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Now, let's read it together. It's going to come up on the screen. Yeah. "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." When Paul wrote these words, he was actually thinking about an Old Testament incident where Moses went up to Mount Sinai to encounter God face to face to eventually come down with the Ten Commandments. When Moses did come down, the story tells us that his face had changed, that he had been slightly transfigured, that his face was glowing, and that the people actually had a hard time looking at it because it was so radiant. And for that reason, Moses covered up his face. When Paul talks about that incident, his point is that if Moses' face was actually glowing with the glory of God as a result of this encounter, and that was the old covenant, how much more will our faces eventually begin to radiate the glory of God in light of the new covenant that we live in since the outpouring of the Pentecostal Spirit. And so he said, in light of Moses, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of God are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Eastern Orthodox have a word for this. They call it theosis. They actually believe that the longer we look at God in relationship to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus. Peter used these words, we become partakers of the divine nature. And as evangelicals, the word that we use is the word sanctification. But in any event, it all means the same thing. It's the act of God whereby he increasingly makes us like himself in every area of our life. Of course, it's progressive and it's slow and it takes a lifetime. But the hope is there. The hope is that at the end of our life, we are more like Jesus than when we started. It is for this reason that Eastern Orthodox Christians, and I have them in my mind because when we were in Israel, there are just so many Eastern Orthodox people there. They believe that painting icons is a way for us to look at the face of a saint, but in reality, have that saint reflect to us the person of Jesus. So they truly believe that when you gaze at a painting of, let's say, Mary, the mother of Jesus, or the Apostle Peter, or the Apostle Paul, that though the saint is not to be worshipped, and the icon is never to be a thing of worship, as we look at the face of the saint, we actually begin to see the face of Jesus. And if you look at the icons of the great saints, their eyes are quite large, their nose is long and narrow, their mouth is small, and their hands are usually doing something very important. All of this points to the character qualities of Christ, who has large eyes, who sees all, who has a long, narrow nose, meaning that he is royalty. Remember, this happened a long time ago where they developed all of these things about what Jesus was like and what he must have looked like. And his mouth was small, meaning that he was slow to speak and quick to listen. It's a beautiful thought that if people look at you, they are going to see another. That as Jesus was an icon of his Father, we are now all icons of Jesus. Well, you probably know why I'm talking about this. It's become quite evident in light of the three previous tributes that Jeff has become an icon of God to us. In a number of ways, Jeff. First of all, you've been an icon of Paul to us. And in the light of that, we've seen Jesus. What's Paul doing with his hands? His hands are on the shoulders of the emerging generation. Paul was always concerned about Timothy and Titus and Aquila and Priscilla and Epaphroditus. He was the one who trained and encouraged and championed and released the younger generation. Many of his books, he writes and appeals to younger men and younger women and says, I'm passing the baton to you. And we've already heard that a year ago, Jeff wore two hats. He was the worship pastor and the youth pastor in between Jeff and Prince. And during that time, he taught them the catechism, the Apostles' Creed. He shared with them what was very important, what was in the small box of orthodoxy and what it meant to truly be a Christian. And in light of that, the kids grew to truly love Jeff and Jeff them. Jeff, you've been an icon of Paul. Your hands have been on the shoulders of the emerging generation. But you've also been an icon of Timothy to us because you're not an old man. You are a young man. And what's Timothy doing with his hands? His hands are open. Timothy is open to spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Timothy says, bring it on. I've got so much to learn. I have so much growing to do. Tell me what I need to know. Show me, go before me. And you have been a Timothy with many spiritual fathers and mothers that you are going to miss a lot as you walk away from this place, Jeff. So as an icon of Paul, your hands have been on the younger generation. As an icon of Timothy, your hands have been open to us and you've received from us. You've also been an icon of Barnabas. Now, Barnabas, as you remember, is the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. And what's Barnabas doing with his hands? His hands are around the shoulders of his brothers and sisters. He is saying, come, come with me, let's go together. And he has encouraged his brothers and sisters and strengthened their hand in God. And Jeff, you have done that for us. You have been our consummate encourager. Paul, hands on. Timothy, hands open. Barnabas, hands around. But ultimately, to me at least, there's one character in the Bible that Jeff emulates more than any. And I should say it's Jesus, but I've actually got somebody else in mind. Okay, I hope you're not disappointed by that. When we were in Israel, looking at all these icons in these icon stores, there were certain icons that I looked at and I thought of Jeff, and there was one particularly where I looked at this icon of John the Baptist and I really thought that I saw Jeff's face, and so I took a photograph of it, and here it is. Yeah. Yeah. It was startling. That's good, Kyron. You can take it off the screen. If Paul is releasing the younger generation and Timothy is open to the older generation and Barnabas is walking side by side with the current generation, what is John the Baptist doing with his hands? He's pointing to another. He's saying, don't look at me. Look at him. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. When they came to John and they said, are you the light that we've been looking for? He said, no, I'm not the light. I'm just a witness to the light. I must decrease. He must increase. Yeah. And Jeff, that's what you've done. You've used your personality and your gift and your upbringing and your relationship with Via Apostolica, your charismatic roots, your historic roots, your evangelical leaning, and every time you've stood up here, you've said, don't look at me, look at him, look at Christ. And so through the face of Paul and Timothy and Barnabas and John the Baptist, in you, we have been pointed to Jesus Christ. Why don't you come join me here for a minute? In a minute, we're going to pray for you as a church, and we're going to bless you. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm done already.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been great. 3 years ago, I called you and because of your brother's prodding, and he said, you really should talk to my brother. And we met in Starbucks, and for about 2 hours, we shared our hearts, and I told you what I felt we needed. And you told me what your passions and what your heart for the Lord was, and we hired you. And it's been 3 really sweet years. And you have invested in us deeply. You've given so much of yourself. And now we get to release you into the future with the privilege of not having burned any bridges and been very joined tightly together in our souls and our hearts. We will always journey with you as a church and you with us. So though this is not the anointing of ordination, because that is going to come in a couple of years, probably first as a deacon with Via and then ultimately as a priest, should the Lord lead you, continue to lead you in that direction. I want to leave you with this. I want to say, Jeff, finally, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me and others in the presence of many witnesses, these now entrust to other young men and women who will be able to trust and teach others also. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love you. Do you have a mic? We're going to pray a prayer blessing upon Jeff, but before we do that, Jeff has got a few closing remarks.
I figured I should probably write a few things down because I knew I was going to be an absolute mess by this point in the service. Well, I don't know how to really say thank you for all of what's already been spoken. Thank you, Tracy, Dan, all the youth and young adults, Brian. I'm very grateful to have my wife, Maria, here with me, and my parents, and my brother, and his boys. Thank you for coming and standing with me today. Just a few thank yous, if I could, and a brief encouragement to leave you with on my last Sunday here. Just weird to say that out loud. I want to say thank you to any staff members that are here that I've stood with, serving shoulder to shoulder with over these last few years. I want to say you are remarkable people, gifted, precious to the Lord, and it's been a great honor to serve this community as a team alongside of you. I want to give a special thanks to Brian, who I've been in close cahoots with for almost 3 years now. Brian has been my direct overseer and the one I've been walking the closest with in my time here. And through these last years, the Lord has knit our hearts together in a very special way. I can't express how thankful I am. To have had the honor to serve you, Brian, in this stage of your life's ministry, and to serve the Lord and his people standing shoulder to shoulder. I can't begin to thank you enough for all you've invested into me, the way you've listened to me attentively and patiently, supported and loved me, further trained me. You have trusted me and released me, and many times, if you can believe it, he's even deferred to me, which doesn't make any sense at all. You have become for me and for others as well a beloved spiritual father. And I count this to be one of the greatest graces the Lord has ever given me. I think of Paul's words to the Corinthian church earlier in his first letter when he said, "For though you have countless guides and teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel." And these words ring true of you, Brian. You have become a spiritual father to many in Christ through the gospel. To the worship team and all the wonderful people I've been able to lead worship alongside of, both on stage, in the tech booths, and right here at the Lord's table where we have feasted in the presence of Jesus every week. Wow. Thank you for all your continuing to pour into this place as you stand in your places of calling. It has massive significance in this place. To the youth and young adults who didn't miss a beat but jumped right into the deep end with me for half a year, it's no secret I am a massive fan of each one of you. And I just want to encourage you all to remember the gospel. Remember the good news of Jesus that is for you, and cling to Christ with everything you have. He is more than enough for every area of your heart and life. To this community of faith who has welcomed me and my wife Maria so warmly and entrusted me with leading you as we flowed together in the river of the Spirit, thank you. I am humbled by the depth of the heart of worship in this place. I count it an immense privilege to have walked with you. I love you guys. You've become a part of me. I have been shaped by this place, by who you are and by what God is doing among you. I've said it often, but Pacific has become a home away from home for me. I hold you all in the highest possible regard and deeply respect your devotion to Christ, to one another, and to his mission in the world. I pray that our paths would continue to intersect as we seek first his kingdom together in this region. Please continue to remember me and Via Vancouver in your prayers. We are leaning into the Lord together to see a vibrant church planting church established in this region. I'll be beginning seminary this fall online, continuing my training towards ordination and working here in Cloverdale as a community support worker serving folks with disabilities. So you might see me around town once in a while. And just a brief encouragement and a passage of scripture. PCC, may you never tire of beholding Christ together and growing in your love and adoration of him. Let this community of PCC be known as a community whose hearts burn for Jesus, because he is so good and so worthy of worship. May expressions of love for Jesus just overflow in this place. And may this place truly be a place of encounter and communion with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. God has been growing our worship life here at Pacific in so many amazing ways, and this is to be celebrated. It's been growing in theological depth and in a robust celebration of the gospel. It's grown in modes of expression, as we heard earlier, in creativity and excellence. It's grown in passion and freedom. It's grown in historical rootedness and unity with the greater body of Christ, and in its ability to recognize the movement of the Holy Spirit in our midst as we gather and to lean into that. And I could go on and on and on. May you continually be captivated by Christ and the unfathomable riches of his grace and mercy. May a revelation of Jesus only increase here. May your hunger and honor for his presence be real and tangible in this place. And may it be contagious for those who are coming into the community. So be brave and courageous and continue to take new steps with the Spirit of God to explore new heights and new depths in his presence together. Close with a couple of verses from the book of Jude, a very short book, but these were the two theme verses I gave the youth for our walk through the Apostles' Creed, and I leave these two verses with you this morning. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Thanks be to God.
All right. Maria, I'd like you to come join us here. Over these last 3 years, we have developed a very deep affection for Maria. She is the one that has had to share Jeff with the church. And it's not always easy to share a husband or a wife with a living movement like the church that demands so much. And you have been very, very gracious and generous, and I want to thank you for that. We've also seen gifts grow and develop in you, Maria. And I've been with you as we've done spiritual direction and spiritual healing with other people, and I've watched you listen to the voice of the Spirit and draw things forth out of people, and you have many, many gifts. Jeff is very lucky to have you. And we are lucky and blessed to have gotten to know you too. We just love you both as a couple. You're a dynamic team. Really love you. Mom and Dad, you guys want to come up here? Thank you very much. Chad and Jana, you guys want to come join us? Is Jason here? Jason, yeah, come on up. Oh, and there's even a couple nephews, three? Where is the other one? Oh, there, yeah. Okay, come on up. If you don't know, I always wanted a collar. Maybe by the end of my time here, I'll be wearing one of these. Do you think that would work?
We can talk. I can let you know how that works. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work. Yeah. Anyway, this is the priest and wife who have shared Jeff and Maria with us. And so we just love Via Apostolica so much. We continue to learn so much and receive so much from the gifts that God has given them to the world. And Mom and Dad, thank you. Jason, thank you. Thank you for the guys. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming. And now I would like the elders and staff and any of the worship community, I know it's a large group of people, to come, and we're going to gather around Jeff and Maria, and we are going to pray a blessing on them. So come quickly. Jeff and Maria, I'd like you to turn and face the screen close to the table, and let's gather in as many people as we can, and then I'm going to explain how we are going to bless this couple. You will see a slide that will come up on the screen. There's five slides, and we are going to now stand as a congregation. And if you feel comfortable doing this, just put out a hand of blessing towards Jeff and Maria, and we are going to call them to this, particularly Jeff, because he has been the one that we are letting go today into the future. And so let us pray this with great faith. You will recognize this as being a portion of St. Patrick's breastplate. So let's say this together. Brother Jeff, arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the God of all creation. Arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, and through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension. Christ with you, Christ before you, Christ behind you, Christ in you, Christ beneath you, Christ above you, Christ on your right, Christ on your left. Christ when you lie down, Christ when you sit down, Christ when you arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of you, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of you, Christ in every eye that sees you, Christ in every ear that hears you. Brother Jeff, arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the God of all creation. Amen. Amen.